Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the strife. Oh, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all of harm saved, His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I sing the chorus now. Oh, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love.
Love the Lord, say amen. Amen, amen.
My sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow, and I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow, when the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me, I need your grace. Dying on that tree.
Saints of all ages. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? A room with a view. What about that? I sat there and listened, and I'm thinking, oh, how wonderful. And wouldn't it be nice to hear that choir, ooh, and humming behind her, wonderful singing? Boy, that'd just set it off. Glory to God. I'm just going to be brief tonight. I won't keep you any longer than an hour. Y'all laughed. But I'm going to use several passages of Scripture, and I really am going to be brief. Man, we've got everything. Look around us. We've got a comfortable, beautiful house to worship in. Padded pews. I'm young enough. I'm old enough to remember when it was the pews were homemade. And they wasn't all solid plank seats. They had them, a little slit in them. And those slits are pinched like everything. Thank God for padded pews. I played the piano at some of these country churches years ago when I was a young teenager. Half the keys were out of tune. Some of them flipped and flopped and didn't even do anything. Thank God for musical instruments. Back in those days, the only way you could be heard on the back seat was to open your mouth and let her fly. Thank God for the PA sets. But I thank God for people with the talent to serve God and sing beautifully like we have around Westside Baptist Church. We're blessed. Everywhere I go, they say, Brother Melvin, you got the best choir around. Yes. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, man, we've got everything. Oh, and hey, listen, we don't just have a great choir. We have some of the best teachers around. I could go on and on. And I want to tell you, I'll be glad that Wednesday night gets back on. I'm missing that Wednesday night meal. Amen. Dave was wondering what in the world he's talking about. He doesn't partake of that. All right. Samuel writes us in chapter 12, verse 24, only fear the Lord. Now, that is a reverential respect. Don't fear him like he's a boogerberry. But I'll tell you what, as a believer, as a born-again believer, I believe when we walk contrary to his perfect will, we had better fear him because, you see, he does know how to carry a switch. And, son, I want to tell you, ma'am, I want to tell you, sometimes he'll use that switch. And it sure is not, I want to tell you, it's not comfortable. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, we had a peach tree out in the yard. We never had a peach on it, but we sure did have a bunch of limbs. That's when I learned to do the holy dance. Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart. In other words, don't be half-hearted. Put all you got in it. Serve him. Now, that doesn't just mean when you come to the house of God. That means when you're on the job, you should be serving the Lord. How? You should be acting like, conducting like, talking like a Christian. Because, you see, that might be the Bible you're teaching somebody is in your life and in your conversation. So it's very important. It says, serve the Lord in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. We can stop and have a testimony meeting right now, and I'm telling you what, if everybody here that's saved ought to have something to stand up and say, oh, I want to just tell you what a great thing God's done for me. I want to tell you tonight, he's been good to me. You say, well, now, Brother Melvin, you just got over cancer, but I got cancer free. I mean, hey, listen, he could have let me still have that mess. But I want to tell you, we have situations that come into our personal lives that we think, boy, it's devastating, it's awful. I'm the only person that ever had anything like this. No, just look around because you're going to find somebody else that has it worse than you do. So we should be thankful. We should have a thankful heart. And we should be thankful. And not just wait till Thanksgiving time, but to be thankful all our time, every day that we live. Thankful for what God has done for us. The Lord hath done great things for us. Therefore, we are glad. If he's done a great thing for Israel, he'll do the same today. When you read in the Old Testament how he brought Israel into as a nation, and the great things that he protected them all in all the battles, he raised them up, and he blessed them mightily. Well, I know we're not under the law any longer. We're under the day of grace. But I want to tell you, I believe we've got more to praise the Lord about than those Israelites did. See, they serve the law, but we serve God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit guiding them. We do. You see, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And listen, we've got a right to shout victory in Jesus. He's done great things for Israel. He'll do that same for us today. He'll do the great things today, as I've already said. And listen, there's a question that I want to ask right now. How can he? Well, in light of the wars, and I'll tell you what I'm so sick and tired about here in the Middle East. I'm so sick and tired of the threats that are around, that are rising up around. Even the threat toward the United States of America. I'm tired of hearing that mess. Crime. My goodness gracious. Anybody right now is crazy to be a criminal, because everybody's a gun toter. And I got one little old bitty one, but I'm thinking about getting a bigger one. If I can get Miss Miller to just give me permission, I want one of them big long ones. I want people to know I got it. I want people to know I'm loaded. But now listen. Great things he's done for us today, but in the light of these wars, what crime? What about the economy? Oh, prices are going higher and higher, and wages are going lower and lower. And Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to wring our hands, and we're just going to be in such a big mess? Well, I think my God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. As one Louisiana preacher said, he owns the taters in them hills. He got plenty of taters. He owns the taters in them hills, too. See, God has it all. Do you think he's up there having a nervous breakdown about taking care of us a bunch of Baptists? No, he just wants us a bunch of Baptists just to turn to him and ask him, Lord, would you come to my rescue? Would you supply my needs? Would you be there for me in all these situations I'm going through? No, we'll run to a psychiatrist and he'll take on the thing and give you a bunch of pills and have you so drugged up you won't know whether you're wobbling or walking. Notice very carefully, in light of all the war, the crimes, the economy, the politics. Boy, we are in a mess. I mean, we are in a political scene right now, aren't we? I don't know who's going to be president. I don't know who you're going to vote for. I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. But I'll tell you one thing, God knows who's going to be president. You know how I know and why I know? He says he raises up kings and he sets kings down. Amen. So when all the dust is settled, I've got a favorite that I'd like to see get elected. But when all the dust is settled, it's still the one God wants up there. He raises them up, he sets them down. The politics or downward spiral. And, oh boy, let's move on to that, because I'll be here all night long. Y'all haven't got time to listen. And what about all this religious racket that's going on? Oh, I'm so glad we got a place we can come to and worship God and sing the power of God and the glory to God and Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound and how we can feel in our heart. We don't have to have it in our head. We feel it in our heart. The presence of God. Well, they were singing. Man, I'm telling you what. It got right warm right over here where I was sitting. You see, when the Holy Spirit's moving, he's a blessing your heart. He's blessing your soul. And I want to tell you, let me just go on and say fluff and stuff, show and goes. Things they can fluff and things and stuff and they can go and they whatever they want to do. I'm staying with Jesus. Now, if West Side ever decides they want to do that, I'm going to say you ain't going to do it. No, we're going to follow Jesus. How can everything be so great? question mark. Well, you have the answer when you know the great person. Jesus Christ is the only one that we can hope for tonight. When you have Jesus, you have a great head. John tells us in chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I like that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Son, get that out and sing it Sunday morning. I want to hear it again. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you what, I grew up on that song. I thought for a long time that was the only song they sung. But it's all right with me. Oh, listen, what a friend we have in Jesus. What greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. What about this great helper? Now, John records in chapter 4, verse 34, ye are of God. Little children, we should never. I believe as a born again believer, we can never forget that. But as I look around today, there are a lot of people who profess that they're saved. Seems they've forgotten something. It says, "Ye are of God." Do you know what that literally means? It means you have been reborn. We was birthed into the human family, into the pain family, whatever your family line is. You were birthed physically into that family. But you see, your spirit nature was dead. And you needed a new birth and being birthed into a new family. And that's the family of God. And the only way you get there is by salvation through the Holy Spirit, changing your life completely and your name written down in heaven. Now, I want to tell you tonight, as a born-again believer, your name, when it's written down in heaven, it's never erased. It's under the blood. It's written in the blood. It's under the blood. This bloody religion, oh, listen, people say, well, you Baptists, y'all, and you, all these denominations that preach this crucifixion and all that stuff, and hey, it's just nothing but a bloody religion. Well, that's what it took. Go back to the garden. Adam and Eve sinned. What happened? Innocent animal blood had to be spilt and sprinkled in order for them to be covered temporarily. But thank God at Calvary, our sins have been covered permanently. And as we walk around, I don't care how bad you've been. You know, hey, listen, Christians do make mistakes. Can't stump their toes, can't stumble. Christians can do that. But I'll tell you what, if you've really been born again, you're not going to be able to run very long. You're going to be like the fish on the line, already hooked. The fisherman will let you run, but all of a sudden he'll jerk it back and he'll roll you in. You see, God knows how to do some fishing. He knows how to do some reeling back in. And sometimes it's not so comfortable. You say, Brother Melvin, how do you know? I've been reeled in a few times myself. Nobody's perfect. I'm not talking about getting out in gross sins, but I'll tell you what, it's those little foxes that spoil the vines. You see, oh, but Brother Melvin, God, that's a small thing in the eyes of God. Hey, listen, there's no small things in the eyes of God. It's those little foxes that mess us up. You know, one of the things that's hindering real Christianity today, Satan is putting so many flashing lights in front of born-again believers, and they're getting sidetracked into the world. And I want to tell you this. If they're really saved, God's going to carry them to the whipping chain. God has the final say-so, if they're really saved. I read recently one writer, and I won't tell you who the writer was, but he said that he believed that only about 45% of church members was really born again. That's pretty low, Brother Joe. That's not much. Out of 100%, only, they say that only about 45% are genuinely saved. Do you know what that says about that other 65 or 55%? That they're pretenders. That they're imitators. That they are following the world and not following God. That's sad. But I believe that I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I believe, and I'm not talking about the choir, you know. I'm talking about, when I look at people here at Westside Baptist Church, I look at so many, I save folk. Church, we're blessed. Save folk. Folk you can depend on. Folk that want to serve God. We might not be the biggest church in town, but I'll tell you what, I'm not worried about being the biggest. I'm not worried about being the best known. I know we're known all over the county and all over this part of the country and all over the South, really, for that camp meeting we had for 20 years. I know that. I go out and I run across preachers that remember the days of preachers that have heard of my name because of the camp meeting. That's nothing. I feel honored. But you see, I'd rather that they know Jesus Christ than to know Melvin Payne. Because, you see, I can't get you to heaven. Fact of the business, I'd have a hard time getting you home. If the congregation were to be here, full house, I have to carry one of y'all home, and I have to buy a couple of tanks of gas to get everybody home. But listen. He's a great head, Jesus Christ, a great helper, Jesus Christ, but a great happening. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, call upon unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All he says is just simply call. Take time to talk to me. Do you talk to the Lord daily? Or do you wait till you get in a crisis and then all of a sudden your prayer life tightens up a little bit? Why don't you talk to him when everything's going good? Well, you say, well, I don't have anything to talk to him. Oh, yes, you do. Because when things are going good, you better be thanking him. Because it's him. It's him tonight. We have a great hiding place, too, when you have Jesus. Psalm 17, verse 8 says, keep me in the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. Choir sings, I believe it's the title, is Under His Wings. I think I'm right about that title, Under His Wings. Boy, I'm telling you, whatever time they sing that song, it thrills my heart. We're under His, He spreads His wings. And under His wings, you know the birds, mama birds protect their young. When they're in the nest, when this rain's coming down and danger's around, they get, and even chickens. And the ducks and all, I don't know too much about ducks. We had some geese. So those ducks didn't like us in Grantville. But now we had chickens. But I tell you what, when it began to rain or come up a cloud or something like that, or a hawk would fly over. You see those mama chickens, they'd get their wings out. Those biddies would fly up under them. She'd sit down with them up in her wings down protected. You see, that's how we are with God. He's protecting us when danger approaches us under His wings. But what about the high priest? Hebrews 4:24 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, the Son of God, Jesus, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, I believe holding fast our profession doesn't mean hold on to salvation, because you can't hold on, you can't hold out. If you're not in with the Holy Ghost glue, you're not in at all. But it's talking about here, let us hold fast our profession of faith. What we say to the world, what we do in front of the world, the places we go, in the world, that's out at in the world, the things we participate in. You see, nowadays, the world scene is changing. It has changed drastically. Now it's just no big deal. After all, everybody's doing it. But I don't tell you there's some place that a Christian ought to stay out of. I don't even like to go in these restaurants that sell beer. But it's got to where if you want any decent food, you got to put up that mess. But you know what I do? I try to sit as far away from its presence as I can possibly see it. Shun the very appearance of evil. You say, well now, beer, no big deal. I could drink a beer and I like it and it makes me feel good. It don't get me drunk on the first one, but the third one might. You see, the little foxes spoil the vine. Those things that seem so insignificant can grab you. But notice on verse 8, chapter 8 of Acts, and there was great joy in the city. Great happiness, great joy in the city. When you have Jesus come by your way, I want to tell you, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Going back to the time of the evening that I got saved. Man, I'm telling you what, I went back to that rock pile with the heaviest burden on my shoulders. And I got down on my knees there at that rock pile where they was cutting I-75 north. And I said, Lord, I know I'm a church member, but I sure not saved. Lord, would you please save me? Well, that evening he did. I want to tell you, folks, the same experience that you had with your salvation experience when you were saved, same thing that I had. I mean, I knew when that burden of guilt and sin came off of me, I knew. And I felt it. You say, well, can heartfelt salvation? Absolutely. I mean, it was just like, whoosh, the load went this way, and the light came in. When you're saved, remember the time when the Lord saved you, when you asked the Lord to save you, and he did come in. But then we're going to close. A great hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope. Blessed hope. Now that blessed hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the believer. That blessed hope is being in the presence of God when we are raptured into the kingdom of God. By the way, I was listening to a TV evangelist just in the last recent hours a day. And he was, I believe it wasn't Adrian Rogers, it was the one out in California. And boy, he was nailing it down about the rapture. And he was talking about how close he felt that it was about to come. Now this is a national known, world renowned preacher. And I could identify with what he was saying. Because as every day passes on the calendar, we're just one more day closer. Now, that does not mean he's coming tomorrow. But the Word teaches us that we should live and look as if he was coming tomorrow. He may not come next week, but we should be looking and living as if he was. He might not even come this year. Well, I'm telling you, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came before the voting day? I'm telling you, some of these politicians, some of these people that want to be elected, I'm not going to say it. But she ought to stay home. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, in closing. Church, no matter what we face, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in as an individual or as a church body, let's be guilty of continuing to look up toward Jesus and guilty of walking toward Jesus. You see, because the world is watching you walk, the places you go. I was talking with someone, and this conversation came up about go anywhere now unless they serve an alcoholic beverage. Well, should a Christian, and the question was raised, should a Christian spend their money in such a place and keep it open? We are in the world, but we're not out of the world. And in a place like that, now I'm not talking about one of these bars. The only thing I know about a bar is what I see on television. You know why? I ain't never been in one. So I don't know about those hellion places. I don't know, do they call them hell holes? Brother Joe, is that what they call it? Say hell hole. You got my point, son. But to go out to a decent restaurant now to get a meal, they always got, and what's so bad about it, they always stick it up front. I hold my nose and keep walking. But I will tell you this. I am not going to let my Christian testimony be compromised. So let's agree together tonight. Small band, but hey, listen. There was only 12 to start with. And I tell you what, it grew pretty fast. And I got to get a little prophetic. Okay, a little prophetic. In closing, you see, when Jesus Christ was crucified, it started with 12, but then it went all this way. I mean, you study the word, it went fast. Went ooh. Well, he's coming again soon, and this is the way it's going. You see, it's going up, but now it's coming down this way. Westside Baptist Church is not going to be in that group coming down. As long as I can keep young Whippersnapper out here, boy, I'm telling you what, get him going. He's a little fire devil. He'll fight the devil like everything. Thank God for him. And this pulpit right here, this man right here, is not going to compromise. And I know I can depend on Alton Midget. He won't compromise. I can depend on Joe Honeycutt, he won't compromise. I can depend on Mike Atkins, he won't compromise. I can depend on, where's he at? Debbie and them not here? get them. All these preachers around here. Oh, no. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, if y'all want to sing, we'll sing the song. Oh, listen to that singing. That's a beautiful song. That's a pretty little thing, I'm telling you what. She gets prettier and prettier every time they bring her. You want to sing a song? Go ahead and sing. Somebody might want to come to the altar and pray. If you don't have anybody else to pray for, come pray for me. Yes, ma'am. Hey, maybe we need a testimony meeting. Go ahead. Yes, oh yes. Amen. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Well, I believe in that divine healing. I'm telling you what. Amen. Amen. I had one and had to have chemo. Sat right over here in this area, in the old building. Before this used to be the back side of the subway right along over there. Susan Smith and Roy was going to go on a cruise. And she came down this terrible back problem and she couldn't hardly walk. So she came up to me that night, but they were supposed to leave the next day or so. She says, "Brother Melvin, would you anoint me with oil and pray over me, because we've already paid for this cruise and we're supposed to go." I believe it was that next day or a couple of days down the road anyway. And says, "Would you anoint me and pray over me?" First time anybody in my ministry, I was a young preacher that time, first time in my ministry. And so I got the ordained men around me. We anointed her and we prayed for her. And immediately she stood up and said, "Well, it's done." Just like that. I mean, she couldn't hardly walk in there. She got down on her. It's just hard for her just to get down and kneel while we're anointed and prayed for. But then up, and she said, "Well, it's done." And so they went on the cruise, and they came back. And she came to me and says, "Brother Melvin," says, "you know, I was hurting so bad, and we'd already determined we was not going to be able to go. Roy and I had to. It's just going to be impossible. We'd already agreed on what we was going to do." Said, "We wasn't going to be able to go, so we was going to let you and Dot go in our place." I said, "Susie, it's a good thing you didn't tell me before I prayed." Stand to your feet. If you feel the need to come and pray in this altar right now, come on down. Just obey the Lord tonight.
Just as
yes.
I am.
That's the way God wants us. That's the way God wants us.
One plea.
Yes, 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 yes.
Was shed
for me.
And that
thou didst make unto thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
To thee,
praise the name of the Lord.
O Lamb
of God. Lamb of God.